días! Tuesday, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. And welcome to the show. I'm Adam Azer here in New York City with Al Melchior and Chris Towers in Fort Lauderdale. What's going on, guys?
Hey, Chris.
It's the Nerd Podcast. We get to talk about stats and Star Wars and all kinds of fun things.
Oh, it's Heath. Heath the Tuesday guy, I've been told.
Yeah.
Hi, Heath. Hola, Heath.
Oh, you were on O. You better call somebody.
Heath and I still have not worked out our trade in the podcast league.
I'm not trading with you.
Why?
Because you missed your chance.
Jay Bruce for Joaquin Soria.
It's a typical Azer offer.
What's wrong with that?
Soria is a top five closer.
Okay, that's because he has a lot of saves right now. It doesn't mean he's going to finish as a top five closer.
I think that's actually a perfectly reasonable offer.
Me too.
Soria is going to be a top five closer.
But then don't trade him, because nobody's giving you that value for him.
I'll say top 10. I'll trade Holland or I'll trade Rodney.
All right, fine. Holland for Jay Bruce.
Oh, that's ridiculous. that one is ridiculous.
All right, welcome everybody. Here's what we're doing today. Got some DL stashes for you to consider. We'll look at Jordan Zimmerman, Alex Wood, Phil Hughes. They had Zimmerman had a good start, but only four strikeouts. Hughes and Wood, not so good. Some deep league guys to target. Of course, some FanDuel and DFS advice for you later, as Heath is on the show all day. Clayton Kershaw, streaking hitters, etc. Email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Any Cinco de Mayo plans, fellas?
None at all. I'm trying to decide. I got as everybody knows, I'm new to the South Florida area. I got a text from my daughter this morning wishing me a happy Cinco de Mayo from Missouri, and I hadn't really even thought about it being Cinco de Mayo because it doesn't seem like it's quite a big deal down here. I tried to explain that to her, and she didn't really understand it because she knows that there's a pretty heavy Hispanic population, but I think maybe she didn't understand being a kid that Cinco de Mayo is not celebrated by all Hispanics.
It is celebrated by all Americans.
No, not even close. Thanks to beer advertising.
We don't sell it like we don't have a party for it, but we go out, you know, like, I'm probably going to get a burrito tonight. You should go to El Mariachi and get yourself a burrito tonight. We celebrate it.
I'm good with that. I'll go drink some Mexican beer and.
Exactly.
I don't like margaritas. That's my main problem with celebrating Cinco de Mayo. It seems like everybody wants to drink margaritas and I'm not a margarita guy.
Well, that is a problem.
Yeah, I do not like really things in my liquor.
And Al and I don't drink, so this conversation's going nowhere. So, how about we talk baseball here? Here's our email of the day. It's from Matt in Ann Arbor. Hello, Don, Chip, and Skip. Who's Don?
Sutton?
All right. How do you rank these buy low starting pitchers in most wanted to least wanted in a roto league? Alex Wood, Gio Gonzalez, Tyson Ross, Jeff Samardzija, Ian Kennedy. Alex Wood, Gio Gonzalez, Tyson Ross, Jeff Samardzija, Ian Kennedy. Most wanted to least wanted. How would you rank them? Go.
I'll start off with Jeff Samardzija, Tyson Ross, Gio Gonzalez, Alex Wood, Ian Kennedy. I think I'd put Wood at the bottom.
I was really tempted to.
And I think I even like Kennedy more than Gio. I'd go Ross, Samardzija, Kennedy, Gio, Wood.
Ross, okay, you're going Ross 1 over Samardzija. Al's going Samardzija 1 over Ross.
Yes.
You're both pretty down on Alex Wood.
Yes. Scott's not here today, so there's nobody to defend.
I didn't have the guts to put him last.
I don't know if he's going to defend Alex Wood after yesterday's start. Alex Wood went 4 1/3, gave up three runs on 9 hits, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts against the mighty, mighty Phillies.
What I would guess Scott's response would be was he almost struck out a batter per inning.
Well, look, I don't blame Scott for defending Alex Wood, you know, last time out. But this is my thing with Wood. I still am interested in buying low on him because I know you can look at a bunch of stats and say he's not pitching well, he's not getting swinging strikes, all that. I want to know why. It just doesn't make any sense to me. He was so good last year. He was 2.78 ERA, a strikeout per inning, and a 1.14 WHIP. He's young. I don't really understand a rational explanation unless he's hurt for why he would be struggling and why he wouldn't be able to snap out of it.
I hear you, and I don't have that explanation for you. But his inability to get those swinging strikes has been so consistent that it's now reached a point where I'll go ahead and, you know, at least, and I am benching him, not ready to drop Wood yet, but I'm benching him without the explanation because there's clearly something going on.
I get that. No, benching him totally. How could you start him at this point? I mean, you're on the hook for the 2-star week and hopefully he'll bounce back. But what about making an offer for him? Like a really low ball offer. I think I actually offered Jay Bruce for Alex Wood in our podcast league. I guess it was rejected. I don't quite remember. But, what about making like a low ball offer for Alex Wood? Is it worth the risk?
Do you just keep Jay Bruce on your roster so that you can make low ball offers?
I have Andrew McCutcheon, Adam Jones, Marcelo Zuna, JD Martinez, Jay Bruce, and Brett Gardner in a 3-outfielder league. So I will trade outfielders.
Well, so I looked at that roster and I thought, you know, the one that probably would be the best fit for me would be Gardner. But there's no way you're trading me Gardner at a reasonable price.
I'll trade you Gardner. Yeah, all right. Al, I will look at your roster right now. We will make a trade on the air.
That always works out well for me.
But okay. Let's conclude our Alex, let's conclude our Alex Wood discussion here. Just, would you guys make a low ball offer? And if so, what is a low ball offer for Alex Wood?
I think Jay Bruce qualifies.
I wouldn't do it. But I apparently do like Jay Bruce more than you do.
Apparently.
I don't hate Jay Bruce.
I don't hate Jay Bruce. I don't really like him.
Okay, so. Heath, would you trade, who are your three closers?
I've got Greg Holland, Joaquin Soria, and Rodney.
Would you trade Fernando Rodney for him?
In this particular situation that I'm in right now, I probably would.
I would do that for sure.
I wouldn't do it if I only had two closers.
By the way, I know that Lloyd McClendon said they're not going to make a change. He said that, you know, a little while ago when Rodney was struggling. But he gave up a home run. He got the save yesterday. He's got 8 saves. Gave up a home run yesterday. And Carson Smith has given up 1 run in his career in like 20 appearances. What do you think the odds of Rodney losing that job at some point are?
I think they're still really low. He was fantastic last week. I think he had 3 or 4 saves last week. And I think they're still low.
I think they're less than 50%, but his meltdown probability is pretty high. And I just think if it's a really, really bad meltdown, I could see them, you know, going to some other option, like, I don't know, Wilhelmson maybe. I think like 33%.
And I also think that most managers are still, not all, but a lot of them are still pretty results oriented and they won the game. So giving up 1 run on a home run when you still win the game doesn't upset managers as much as when you blow a save.
Gardner for Smiley, Al.
I want to look at that after the podcast to see how that affects the whole roster. But that on paper, that sounds okay. Okay.
Al, it makes for a lot better radio if we get an instant reaction.
I understand that. But we're helping the people here.
Hey, right? Haley Ramirez got hurt last night, which I think is going to be good news for Red Sox pitchers, by the way. He is a really bad left fielder, but
he is Man Ram.
Oh my God. He makes Man Ram look like Algo, which is my quick.
No, the transformation's almost complete. He is turning himself into Man Ram.
Well, Algo is Alex Gordon. I was saying he makes Manny Ramirez look like Alex Gordon the way.
Algo?
Yeah. I was waiting for the reaction, the instant reaction from you on that butchering.
I've never heard it. I don't think that's a thing.
It's not. I just made it up on the spot.
He's,
give me
he's
some
a
points.
Thing maker.
Algo. Like Algo Rhythm?
Al Gore. I call him Al Gore. Okay?
Al Gore.
There we go. So Hanley sprayed his shoulder. They're saying he may not need to go on the DL. I'm not so sure about that. He looked pretty bad. And that's a twice surgically repaired shoulder. Anyway, I you know who I'm interested in this scenario, guys? Brock Holt. He is eligible.
I love Brock Holt.
At third base, middle infield, not shortstop or second, but middle infield, corner infield, and outfield. What do you guys think? What happens here? What are the dominoes here if Hanley misses time?
That Holt gets more playing time in the short term, and then Rusney Castillo gets recalled within a couple of weeks, and Brock Holt goes back to oblivion.
That's fine.
Rusney Castillo only gets recalled in a couple of weeks if this is a long absence. If this is just a couple weeks absence, by the time that Hanley's ready, Brock Holt just goes back. I don't know if Castillo ever makes it up.
Well, and Victorino, by the way, might begin a rehab assignment this weekend.
Well, he'll be hurt again soon.
Yeah. I guess that was just my way of saying one way or another, I think Castillo's in that lineup within 2 weeks.
Well, I just wanted to make a point about Holt. Like, even, first of all, Holt was in the lineup before Hanley got hurt. He started and he doubled and tripled. And, then Alan Craig came in for Hanley Ramirez. But even if Holt just has a few good weeks, he's just shown that in short spurts, he could be pretty valuable, I think.
Well, he is, but I'm afraid playing every day no longer qualifies as a short spurt.
No, but I think for like 2 or 3 weeks on your Roto roster, he could be really valuable like he was last year.
I think more actually in a points league than Roto.
I only say Roto because they're bigger rosters. I'm not really looking at them in shallower formats.
Fair enough.
But yeah, I get your point. All right, two setbacks in injury rehabs here. Alex Cobb, he had a setback in his recovery from the forearm injury. The Tampa Bay Tribune's Roger Mooney says it appears Cobb won't be back until mid-June at best. Let's, you know, that seems like a harsh reaction, but, I mean, he would know better than I would. We'll find out more this week.
And good Anthony Strzok's Colome, right?
Yeah. Well, I felt like Colome was going to stay in there anyway. Carnes may be the odd man out.
Speaking of which, I heard Betty Davis Eyes this morning.
I hate that song, man.
Oh, no, it's... I mean, it's...
What does that have to do with...
Because it's Kim Carnes.
Oh, well, listen.
I associate the song with Nathan Carnes now.
I didn't know that was Kim Carnes because that song is dead to me. Listen. Cobb setback, Rendon setback, oblique strain. That could be a long thing.
Ugh.
It's so annoying. And there is a risk when you draft injured guys that they're going to have setbacks.
Yeah, but you don't think there's, I mean, this is not related to his original injury.
I know. It's kind of weird.
So it's not like this was some type of risk you were taking that he might also get an oblique strain. It's just really bad luck.
And it's the type of injury that often lingers and keeps guys out long, or they come back and they don't hit for power.
And he's probably going to rush back because the team's struggling out of the gates and they need him.
And Adam Ottavino, Adam Ottavino may need Tommy John surgery, so John Axford owners rejoice. DL guys to stash, specifically Tommy John guys to stash. Matt Moore, Jared Parker, Patrick Corbin, Ivan Nova. What's your interest level in those four guys? Moore, Parker, Corbin, Nova, and am I forgetting anyone?
Well, if you're going to put, I mean, I feel like Matt Moore is kind of in his own classification here in this group, and I think if you're going to put this group together, then I would probably throw Chris Medlin in.
I was going to say, I'd like him better than anybody on that list.
Okay. My apologies. Struggling studs. I put Jordan Zimmermann in here just because, you know, he's been struggling most of the year.
I don't think any of these guys are studs.
They are studs by ownership percentage. That is the criteria.
Okay. Sorry.
So these are guys who are owned in almost every league. Phil Hughes is 90% owned. Alex Wood, I don't know exactly what his ownership is, but it's high. And Jordan Zimmermann should be a stud.
Yeah, I drafted, well, I don't think you liked it, but I drafted him as an ace for, I think it was my podcast league team, actually.
I drafted him as an ace in a 16-team league, so it's not like I hated it. I get it. What'd you think of the start last night for Zimmermann? 7 innings, 6 hits, 2 runs. Of course, 1 was unearned. No walks and 4 strikeouts against the Marlins. I got his swinging strike rate, last 4 seasons percentage-wise. 13.8, 14.1, 16.5 last year, and 11.7 so far this year.
And I'm assuming that's as a percentage of strikes thrown, because as a percentage of pitches thrown, that makes him like Max Scherzer.
Okay, I'm not sure. I'll trust you on that.
Thank you.
Whatever baseball reference. What'd you think?
It's really down this year, but it's, front loaded with the first 3 games where he got a grand total of 11 whiffs. So the last 3 starts have been much better for him in that regard. Still not a lot of strikeouts, really, but, you know, Zimmermann wasn't really that much of a strikeout guy before last year. And he wasn't an ace before last year, but he was still pretty much must start. So I guess I'm saying he's come back enough with the swings and misses that I really don't have concerns about him anymore.
I guess my thing is he's faced the Marlins twice, the Braves once, the Phillies once, and then the Red Sox and Mets. And he's got a 4.15 ERA and he struck out 5 or more batters once. That worries me.
But if you look at the game log, I mean, it's, you know, the Boston arguably his toughest opponent in terms of an offense.
Right.
But that start inflated his ERA.
Well, yes.
Give me the opponents again. We got the Marlins twice.
The Marlins twice, the Braves once, the Phillies once, the Mets, and the Red Sox.
All right, the Mets, Red Sox, and the Braves do not strike out a lot. And the Phillies don't really either. The only team that does is the Marlins.
Yeah. But those aren't good offenses.
No, but I mean his...
Like, you should have a better than 4.15 ERA.
But his ERA is so inflated by that horrible Red Sox start, and I think the defense behind him hasn't helped either. I know that unearned runs don't count towards your ERA, but they make you throw more pitches.
Yeah.
Look,
I don't think the defense is getting any better.
He was not good in the first three starts.
Well, I guess another part of that point is if we know the Nationals defense is going to be below average this year, it may not be this bad, but it's going to be below average, and he's not going to strike a bunch of people out. Do we want a guy who's putting a lot of balls in play in front of a defense that isn't very good?
I don't know that I agree with that though. I think, well, we don't know if Rendon's retiring or if he's coming back or what, but Rendon's a good defender. And Desmond actually last year ended up being a good defender after he made his like 8 April errors or whatever.
It depends which version of Yunel Escobar we see this year, because he's been elite in the past.
Yeah.
He was awful last year.
And then I don't know. I don't know about the Spanworth Harper outfield, quite honestly. But
Worth looks just terrible to me moving right now. He doesn't look healthy, but when I watch him play.
Okay, Zimmerman to you is what? Top what? Starting pitcher.
I'm still top 15. Well, actually, I dropped him. I'll need to bump back up because the last three starts are pretty much, you know, what you want from him. 70% strikes thrown, 10% whiffs as a percentage of pitches thrown. Just one walk, 15 strikeouts in 20 innings. I'll take that from him. So yeah, I think he's top 15.
Yeah, I think I have to, maybe, I'd say top 25.
Is Phil Hughes droppable?
No, not droppable. Maybe 2 weeks from now, I'll say he is. But, this was obviously not encouraging at all. I have to wonder if he's going to wind up on the DL eventually, if this is a health issue for him, or if he's just not good this year. I don't feel certain about it right now. I think the next couple starts are going to be telling.
Do any of these three deep league pitchers interest you? They had good starts yesterday. David Phelps, Chase Whitley, and Ross Detweiler.
Detweiler, all day long we talked about stacking against Detweiler and how awful Detweiler is.
And I also stacked against Whitley.
I think Whitley's got a chance to be pretty good for as long as he's in the rotation.
RP eligible.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
As is Phelps. And I thought this would be a good week for Phelps because of being in a couple of pitcher's parks. And of course, whenever he's at home, he's going to be in a pitcher's park. I don't know if he'll stay in the rotation after Alvarez comes back, which is supposed to happen within a couple weeks. But for right now, I do like Phelps.
I feel like Whitley can be good for a little while, but if he stays in the rotation too long, I think he'll get exposed.
That sounds right.
But again, that doesn't mean you shouldn't take a chance on guys who could be good for a little while, right?
No, I don't think there's anything wrong, especially in deep leagues. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. Monday standouts. All right, let's talk about Carlos Martinez. 3 2/3, 9 hits, 7 runs, 4 walks, 4 strikeouts. I think last time we talked about him, we said maybe he's a sell-high candidate. He was off to a great start. What do you guys think? What do you think now? All the regression happened at once.
Yeah. And when you said that, I'm pretty sure that I said I didn't think he was. And
oh,
I guess
okay,
I still
I'm
don't
sorry.
Think he is. Because there's certainly concern still about control, but, I know we saw a flash of his upside prior to the start, and I'm not just going to reverse course based on one bad start.
I think my issue with Carlos Martinez was that, you know, before this horrible start, he hadn't thrown more than 100 pitches once. He had only gone more than 6 innings once in his first 4 starts. And that just kind of said to me, like, how much faith do they really have in him? His pitch counts are low. He's having good starts through 6 innings. Why aren't they letting him go out for a 7th and 8th? And he just has never been... He's never been this good in the majors. And last 2 starts, the walks are back. So Heath, what do you think about Carlos Martinez?
Well, I mean, last night's the danger with him. He's a little bit of a boom or bust guy, but he got squeezed a little bit in the first inning. And that's not anything to say that he shouldn't be able to deal with that, but I don't think a pitcher with his type of movement and his lack of, he doesn't have complete control. And So he's going to have a tough time being fine with his control. So if you get into a situation like that where the strike zone is maybe not quite as big as it usually is, he can get in a lot of trouble in a hurry. And that's basically what happened. The first inning just killed him.
Carlos Martinez or Edinson Volquez rest of season?
Martinez.
Yeah, I agree.
Carlos Martinez or...
I'll take Martinez.
Okay. Henderson Alvarez.
Martinez. Yeah, I've got Alvarez four spots ahead. Pretty close, but yeah, I do trust Alvarez more.
Chris Heston.
Martinez.
Martinez. By one spot in my rankings, by the way.
Hey, and Al's a Chris Heston lover, so.
I am.
Clayton Kershaw, guys.
I like Clayton Kershaw more.
Do you, do you have any concerns that Kershaw, he's pretty darn good start last night, but you could look at the numbers overall and think, oh, he's not that great this year. Is he still Clayton Kershaw?
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
He is. He is, but here's my thing. And I faded Kershaw last night, so I was really happy to see him give that lead up in the eighth. He had a good start last night. We know the Brewers have been terrible in almost all scenarios, but they've been the worst team in baseball against left-handed pitchers. So just because, I mean, he's still not, Kershaw's not what he was last year. Still.
Well, let's go over what happened last night with Kershaw, because he had seven innings of one run.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came out in the eighth, gave up a home run to Hector Gomez.
And but he was only at like 80 some pitches. I don't think it was a situation where he wore down.
No, yeah. and then a double to Lynn, and then he got lifted and Hatcher came in and gave up another run that was charged to Kershaw. So it ended up being three runs and seven and a third, no walks, eight strikeouts.
Right.
He was pitching great through seven, but he hasn't, I don't think he's gone more than seven and a third this year yet. He's been really good. He just hasn't been amazing yet.
Right.
And you mentioned the pitch count. I mean, the pitch counts have all been pretty low, and yet he has been going pretty deep in the game. So he is still Clayton Kershaw. He's efficient. The strikeout to walk ratio is pretty insane. Giving up a few more extra base hits than we're accustomed to. I think over the next, you know, several starts, that's going to wash out.
Well, yeah, his BABIP, he up until last night, and I haven't looked at it yet, but his BABIP against going into last night was ridiculous.
It's 352 right now.
352. That's way down from where it was. It was over 400.
Yeah.
So a lot of that regression happened last night. But, I mean, we're talking about a Brewers team that has a 484 OPS against left-handed pitching.
So you're disappointed. You're mad.
I'm not disappointed. I'm thankful because I've faded him in daily, and he was going to kill me until that last inning.
Oh. So, I know we talked about Stephen Vogt yesterday, but I feel like we have to talk about Stephen Vogt again. Because he hit a home run, they have a grand slam?
Yeah, yeah, first inning. Grand first slam inning, off grand Hughes, slam.
And a double, and he almost homered twice.
Yeah, he was a triple shy of the cycle.
He's ridiculous. 372. He's got 25 RBI. The only player in baseball with more is Nelson Cruz. 25 runs batted in already. More walks than strikeouts. Tell me what you think about Stephen Vogt rest of season.
I think Stephen Vogt's becoming very close to approaching sell high mode. Just because
I think he's there.
I don't know if anybody buys it quite yet, but if somebody buys into it, he's good. He's not this good, and I don't think anybody expected him to hit for this kind of power.
That's no, and I don't going forward, and I consider him to be a better than average power hitting catcher.
Right.
But yeah, the vibe that I'm getting from Twitter questions is that you could probably sell him high in some leagues right now. I think people are buying what he's doing.
Well, he's by far and away the top ranked fantasy catcher.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's crushing it. Oh, and you know who number two is, by the way?
I know as of 2 days ago, it was Salvador Perez.
It's no longer Salvador Perez. The number two catcher in fantasy baseball.
I'm going to get, can I have one more guess?
I'm just going to say that I won't give you any hints, but yes, go.
Oh, I was going to guess that Gattis had done enough in the last 3 days to make it him.
No,
that position's been awful.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't be surprised.
Completely right. Shocking to me. It's Russell Martin.
And what's he hitting? 180?
I think low 220 twos. Something. Yeah. But he scored the most runs at the position. I think Martin has 17 runs scored.
And if you're doing this by points, he's getting a ton of walks.
So he's points and roto, he's number two.
Yeah, well, he's getting on base, hitting for power. It's Yankees version, Russell Martin.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Yuck.
With Stephen Vogt, I know you say sell high on him. But what does that mean exactly? And I think even as a, even as an owner who has a bad catcher situation and knows that Steven Vogt is going to regress, that doesn't mean you shouldn't make a trade for him.
No.
You know, what kind of player is he going to be rest of season? And what would you be comfortable giving up for Steven Vogt if you were making a trade for him?
I would guess that rest of season he's going to be somewhere, as far, if we're talking about in the catcher ranks, and we'll see what Al thinks about this, but I would guess he's going to finish somewhere starting from this point forward till the end of the season in the 6 to 8 range amongst catchers.
That's terrific, I think.
Yeah, it's not crazy. I have him 11th, but, you know, I look at my rankings under the top five, which right now is Posey, Lucroy, Mesoraco, Perez, Gattis. McCann is 6 for me, and I don't know that there is a whole lot of difference between McCann and Vogt.
Right.
Mm. Okay. Would you give up, let's see, J.D. Martinez for Steven Vogt?
No freaking way.
Yeah, I can't see a situation where I'd do that unless I was like Adam Azer and I had 17 outfielders in a 3-outfielder league.
Lorenzo Cain or Steven Vogt?
I'll go Vogt there.
Yeah, I'd take Vogt over Cain.
Oh, and BTW. This is why I don't like drafting too many outfielders too early in a 3-outfielder league. And I remember when I was doing the podcast league draft, it just, there was nobody else I liked at the time at other positions. So I just said, look, screw it. I'm not going to pass up great value.
But I think, wasn't that the draft that I did from a restaurant because I was out house shopping and so I had to do it on the app?
That was the great first impression draft when you were part of the team for like 3 days and you forgot about our podcast draft.
I think that just tells you how good our app is for drafting because I haven't lost that league yet.
Now you're making a very good impression with your CBS promo. Nice work. So, any other standouts you guys want to mention from yesterday? Okay. No problem. We got plenty more. I got plenty more in the notes.
Good.
I want to talk about buy low candidates unconventionally, you know, thinking about this. Usually when we talk about buy low, we talk about players like McCutchen who are proven and they're great and they're struggling. But what about on a lower end? I came up with 3 names. If you're in deeper leagues or if you just want to pick these guys up and stash them. I came up with Eric Ibar, Brandon Belt, and Chris Davis with a K. And the comparison I would use from last year would be Pablo Sandoval, who was, he's not a high-end player, and you knew he wasn't a high-end player, but he was terrible in April, terrible last year, and he had a great May. So what I'm saying is, maybe you take a guy like Ibar, who's typically a 270, 280 hitter, who's hitting around 200, 210 right now, and maybe you pick him up, or you trade for him in a really deep league where there's nothing available on waivers. And you get a month where he hits 315 and he's a top 4 shortstop. You guys know what I'm saying here with this concept, and what do you think of those 3 names, and is there anyone else you would consider an unconventional buy low?
I know what you're saying. I think in that scenario, it's a good idea to trade for Ibar, and I considered doing this very thing with Chris Davis in a deeper league. I didn't find the right fit in terms of offering something to the owner, but, he was a guy specifically, you know, went through the rosters to see who had him because I thought he'd be a good buy low.
Chris Davis of Milwaukee. The Brewers, Chris Davis.
That is correct.
Yeah. Sorry, Heath. Go ahead.
That's okay. I think, Ibar is a really good candidate, especially since he's moved. It looks like he may be leading off for a while then.
Right.
And that's a positive, and that should get his run total up. What would really help is if his 256 BABIP progressed to his 303 career average. The only concern I have with him is he's got 2 extra base hits. He's not a guy that gets a lot of extra base hits, but that's terrible. And his strikeout rate is at a career high 14%, which he's a guy, 14% isn't really that high, but that's too high for the type of hitter he is.
And Chris Davis, he's batting 209 with 1 home run. He's still 51% owned. Last year, he hit 258 and slugged 476 against left-handed pitching. This year, Chris Davis is 1-for-20 against lefties.
That's not good.
But I see that improving. I mean, that was kind of the thing with him is, you know, he hits the crap out of he hits low average against lefties. In 2013, he only hit 244, but he slugged 689 against lefties. So you gotta figure there's more power coming against left-handed pitching.
Yeah, 20 at bats, not a lot.
Is there anyone else?
Belton, on the other hand, by the way, is somebody of the three, is the one I'd be least interested in pursuing this kind of trade with, because I just don't think he's going to play much against lefties.
They talked about playing him in the outfield to keep him in the lineup when Posey plays first base. I feel like they've played a lot of left-handed pitchers lately.
You can't sit Justin Mac or
Maxwell.
Maxwell, yeah.
You can't sit Justin Maxwell?
Oh no, you can't get him out of the lineup.
In what scenario? On what earth?
On your all University of Maryland alum team.
Okay.
Yeah.
No. I know what you're talking about, Al, but you know, Belts can't be this bad for this long.
I was kidding about Maxwell.
Yeah, in the world. Belts got a 357 BABIP. He should be worse than this.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I don't know. Still, he's been terrible. Okay, well, then maybe don't buy low on him. Injuries, news, and notes. Oswaldo Arcia is on the DL with a hip injury, and Minnesota called up Eddie Rosario. Does he matter?
Not too much. First of all, the main reason not to really get too worked up about him is because I don't think he's going to get regular bats. I think he and Eduardo Escobar are going to split some time in left field. But this is another one. We talked about Avisaíl García, I think, on the podcast somewhere. We talked about how he sort of got overhyped as a power prospect without a whole lot of power on his resume. And I'm not sure what the fuss is about Rosario. Like, he seems like a nice enough player, but those stats would look better at second base than the outfield.
Yeah. And Eduardo Escobar, if he does get some regular at-bats in the outfield, he's shortstop eligible, so deep leagues. If you're desperate at shortstop, maybe keep an eye on that. Hyunjin Ryu on the 60-day DL with a shoulder injury now. Chad Billingsley is going to start today at Atlanta for Philadelphia. Hasn't pitched in a long time. Who's stacking Braves?
Boy, it's hard to stack Braves, but especially when freaking Kelly Johnson isn't in the lineup after hitting two home runs in 3 days. Sorry, I'm a little bitter over that yesterday.
Well, Andrelton Simmons is so cheap still.
Andrelton Simmons, I said on Twitter last night, is the Royals of hitters. Because he just keeps producing, and his price does not change.
And Pierzynski's pretty cheap as well, if you want to. I have both of them in my lineup.
Oh, yeah, especially. I mean, if they put something like a Simmons at two, and then Freeman at third, and then Kelly Johnson, and then Pierzynski.
Right.
You could stack that.
Yeah, I don't know that it would have occurred to me to stack against Billingsley. Not that he's going to be tremendous, but I don't know. He might not be bad.
He's going against the Braves. There's a chance he's not bad.
Yeah.
I don't know how long he'll pitch, though.
Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest risk
with
him. But, I mean, I guess if you don't like the Phillies bullpen, you know, then you could stack. But
and the Phillies bullpen isn't bad.
Yeah, certainly the back end of it's really good.
You're probably going to see the front of it, though, in the front end of most people's bullpen, unless you have Chris Young.
Simmons is more interesting to me because the shortstops that you want, like Tulowitzki, is outrageously priced.
Well, it's raining again there today, too.
Right, right. If you want to save some money, maybe look at Simmons. Gene Segura could be back today. Seattle called up shortstop Chris Taylor, and he started yesterday. Leonis Martin day-to-day with a wrist injury. Shin-Soo Chu led off. But Martin was actually in the lineup, and Chu led off anyway against a lefty, and he doubled in that game. Yonder Alonso day-to-day with back soreness. Shane Victorino could begin a rehab assignment this weekend. Chris D'Onofrio is going on the DL with a hamstring injury for the Cubs. The Angels called up Carlos Perez, a catcher. Does that matter?
I'd say probably about as much as Austin Hedges matters, that he has an opportunity, I think, there to get some playing time, but not enough certainly to matter in standard leagues.
Alex Guerrero was out of the lineup again with a righty on the mound. Scott Van Slyke started in left field for the Dodgers. Anthony Rizzo stole his seventh base. That's pretty cool. Coco Crisp, 18% owned, started a rehab assignment. He is recovering from an elbow injury. I think that's under-owned there. 18% for Coco Crisp? Agree, disagree?
I'm going to say no, just because, I mean, when healthy, clearly that's very under-owned. But he doesn't strike me as the guy that I'm stashing for weeks on end.
No, but I mean, five outfielder league, Coco Crisp could easily be a top 60 outfielder.
He could be, but I'm just saying, in a 12 team, five outfielder mixed league, if I needed to make room for another injured player. And I've got plenty of leagues where I don't have enough DL slots.
Oh, yeah. Almost every league.
Chris would have gone very early.
That's fine, but he's starting a rehab assignment. So I'm just saying he could be back pretty soon and he's 18% owned.
Yeah. Over the days to come, then I guess that number should rise.
And JJ Hardy began a rehab assignment and we're going streaking. Let's take a look at guys who are hot, hitting really well right now.
You just put this guy on for the voice, this first guy.
I don't know what you're talking about. Jock Peterson. Jock Peterson is going streaking. Now, it's kind of interesting because the only thing he's doing lately is homering. I guess he's walking a bit too. 3 walks in 5 games, 4 home runs in 5 games. Those are his only hits. 4 for 20 with 4 home runs, 7 RBI, 3 walks and 10 strikeouts. I just don't know what to make of him.
That's exactly what I make of him. I wasn't really buying the high batting average early on.
Right.
I think he's going to be the kind of guy who's going to go on big power binges without necessarily a high batting average.
The way I see it is the Dodgers saw what the Padres had done with Will Myers at leadoff and said, hey, that looks like fun. Let's try it.
Peterson's still not stealing bases, though. I mean, look, he's not in these 5 games. He has not been in the position to steal. Well, he's walked.
Hey, you can't steal a base if you hit a home run.
He's
you don't
walked 3 times
besides that.
But he hasn't stolen. Any thoughts on Peterson other than what we've said?
I think he's still a sell high candidate.
For what? What would you look for?
Well, what do you need? What position do you need?
Well, let's do outfielders. Who would
you
rather
trade
have?
An outfielder for an outfielder?
Who would you rather
trade
have?
Trade him for Abe Froman, the sausage king of Chicago.
I would not.
Peterson
Take
or Denard?
Offer, Adam.
Peterson or Denard Span?
Peterson.
Peterson.
Peterson or Drew Smiley?
I think I'm vacuum. I'm going Peterson.
I'm probably in most situations going to go Smiley.
Jock Peterson or Melky Cabrera in a points league?
I'm still going to go Melky there, even though I'm benching him right now.
Melky.
Jock Peterson or Melky Cabrera in a roto league?
Yeah, that's tough.
Probably Peterson.
I'm going to say probably Melky, but yeah, really close.
Danny Santana's streaking, 66% owned, last 11 games, 349, 378 on base, 442 slugging, 1 steal, 6 runs, 4 doubles, and guess what Danny Santana did yesterday? He walked for the first time. Should I have made you guess? I'm sorry. He walked for the first time. Danny Santana, so this guy was probably close to 100% owned. At the beginning of the season, now it's 66%.
And that's more like it.
what, the ownership or the streak?
Well, I guess both. If you're one of the 66%, then yeah, the streak is more like it. But I'm not really buying the streak. You got to start somewhere, so that first walk helps. But just horrendous plate discipline.
Well, and he started off the year leading off, right?
Yeah.
And the Twins' offense was awful. And so they moved him down to the 9 spot and put Dozier in the leadoff spot, and the Twins' offense has been good.
Yeah.
Yep. Sense.
Okay. Connect the dots. Miguel Montero and Yasmani Grandal are both streaking. Montero, in his last 6 games, is 11 for 23 with a home run and 6 RBI. Yasmani Grandal, in his last 3 games, and Grandal said he had a minor injury and he changed his approach at the plate and he's healthier now. It's only 3 games, but he's 7 for 9. With a home run, 2 RBI, and 2 doubles. I think he had a pinch hit home run. Montero and Grandal, who would you rather have? And are you encouraged by either or both of these guys?
Yeah, really encouraged by both. And, I've got Montero ranked higher. I think I need to move Grandal up because that was based on the preseason assumption that he was going to play less than he's been playing. But, if he's going to continue to get the share of the at-bats, he could be in the top 12.
Grandal's another guy that his getting hot coincided with moving down in the order. He was batting higher in the order and struggling, and they moved him down to the 7th spot or the 8th spot, and he's been a lot better.
How about these guys? Mark Canna and Torii Hunter, owned in about the same amount of leagues. Canna is crushing it right now. 7 for his last 17 with 3 home runs. That's after a 5 for 34 stretch with no extra base hits for Canna. And Torii Hunter, last 4 games, he's 8 for 18 with 2 homers. Who would you rather have, Mark Canna or Torii Hunter? And are you interested in either of these guys?
I'm not interested in either, but if you're making me choose, and you are, I'm picking Hunter.
Oh, I'm definitely picking Hunter. I'm slightly interested in Hunter, but not really.
Hunter or Cocoa Crisp?
Crisp.
Well, right now I'd rather have Hunter on my roster.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, but.
Well, we're talking about
how Hunter doesn't have a game app for your phone.
That's true.
Wait, Cocoa Crisp does?
Yes, he does.
Explain.
Let's see if I can find, actually I might have deleted it because truth be told it was sort of lame.
That's really hard to believe. I really can't hardly believe that it was lame.
Well, basically it's a game where you go and it's called Coco's Fro Patrol.
Okay.
So player with an enormous fro and you're catching balls.
With your hair?
Yes.
Okay. That's outstanding.
It sounds more fun than it is.
Okay.
And how about these two low-end guys? Logan Forsyth is a top 12 second baseman right now. Last six games, he's 10 for 24. Four doubles. And Logan Morris. It's the Logan dudes. Logan Morrison, last six games, 10 for 23 with three home runs. Logan Forsyth, Logan Morrison.
Man, I was trashing Lomo yesterday in my discussion with Scott White, so I'm sure he's not going to let me hear the end of that. No, I don't buy either one of these guys.
I'll buy Lomo a little bit. I was sort of doing the same thing. Chris Towers, the other day wrote a blog post on players who are among the most vulnerable regulars.
Yeah.
And I suggested to him including Lomo because I think Jesus Montero is kind of an interesting deep league pickup. And he could maybe be a Lomo replacement.
Yeah.
So I'm not thinking too high of Lomo, but he could still be the guy that we've been waiting for years for him to be, hit for power and get on base and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So Heath, you don't have FOMO on Lomo?
I do not at all. I don't even know what you just said, but I'm relatively certain I still don't.
You guys aren't familiar with FOMO?
No.
It's becoming kind of a thing. I saw it on Broad City. That's how I learned of it. It stands for fear of missing out. So if you have FOMO on Lomo, you'd have fear of missing out on Logan Morrison.
That would have been really funny if I knew what FOMO was.
Yeah, I'm going to guess. What percentage of our podcast listeners do you think knew what FOMO meant before that little episode right
50,
there?
50.
50%.
Yeah.
Well, I think everybody that listens to the podcast and follows us on Twitter should let us know that they knew that. And I'm going to guess the number of people that let us know that are less than 4.
Well, the ones that got that, I'm sure, are LMAO.
I think...
LTAO. Sorry.
Good
L-T-A-O?
Point.
LTAO?
That would be impossible for them to LMAO.
Oh, LTAO. I think maybe we should do, like, maybe I'll do a Twitter survey, like, A, do you listen to the podcast? And if yes, B, do you know what FOMO means? Yeah, I'll do it. I'll tweet it right now.
Okay.
I'll see what the results are by the end of the show. Okay, anyway, rotation time. I'm just gonna name these guys. Give me your thoughts. We're running out of time here, so. Dallas Keuchel. Wow. 3-0 with a .80 ERA, and he struck out 8 Rangers yesterday, and he's the number 2 starter in fantasy. Jake Odorizzi still hasn't given up a home run this year. He's throwing his cutter a lot more, getting a lot more grounders. Matt Shoemaker. Interesting start. 3 home runs, all solo, against Seattle. And 10 strikeouts to 1 walk. Tyson Ross, we kind of talked about. Madison Bumgarner appears to be back. So maybe it's really the first 3, Keuchel, Odorizzi, and Shoemaker.
Well, I'm going to write about Keuchel today and debate myself about whether or not he's a legitimate sell high. I think he is. I'm just glad I haven't actually sold him in any of my leagues because I've been enjoying this so far. Odorizzi... I am now starting to buy into him as a must-start guy. He's looked good on the road so far. And as you mentioned, more ground balls, although still not really a great rate, but better than it was. Probably good enough now to trust.
I actually wrote about Keuchel last week, and my new nickname for him is the Bearded Unicorn, because nobody does what he's doing except for... We did find out after some exhaustive research that he is basically Tim Hudson at his best. Tim Hudson at Tim Hudson's best. Because nobody strikes out less than 7 batters per 9 and maintains an ERA below 3. Keuchel did it last year, and now he's striking out 6 per 9, and his ERA is 0.8. How do you do that? Well, a 172 BABIP and an 88% strand rate certainly help.
And the comparison with Hudson is great because the way that Hudson did that 1 year, and I can't remember.
Was he actually did 3 years.
But there was 1 year.
1 year where he.
Was 2011, maybe?
He had the highest ground ball rate.
Yeah.
That I found.
And because he was getting so many ground balls, it was basically ground balls and a few fly balls and a few line drives. And it was this ultra low line drive rate that made his BABIP legitimately low.
Right.
So it's just everybody was just grounding out against him.
Right.
All right, the question has been posed on Twitter. Super important podcast questions. I should have said question. Whatever, I'm not going to correct it. If and only if you listen to our fantasy baseball podcast, do you know what FOMO means? And let's see what happens.
I feel like this is not a scientific way to do it.
Why?
Because and maybe I'm in the minority, but I am much more likely to answer that question if I do know what FOMO means. I'm much less likely to say, nope. Why would I
don't know.
That?
Then what do you want me to do, Heath?
I think it's too late now. You spoiled the pool of possible.
It's a flawed social science project.
It is.
Fringy starting pitchers. Do you want any of these guys? Clay Buchholz, Aaron Harang, R.A. Dickey, Jesse Hahn.
Well, I thought I wanted Clay Buchholz.
Clay Buchholz has 10 walks to 40 strikeouts.
Yeah, see, you'd think that he'd have better results. I don't get him. I have no explanation for why he's so inconsistent, but I can't do it. I was going to start him in FanDuel yesterday, and not that I did well with Jesse Hahn, but you know, something deep inside me said stay away from Clay Buchholz.
Well, some idiot on this show was saying that Buchholz has a good history against the Rays, so you should consider him.
Yeah,
that was me.
It wasn't me.
It was me. What about Jesse Hahn? Drop him, right? Let's just done.
Well, not done like dead to me, but I liked him for the 2-start week. That's spoiled now. I might like him for future 2-start weeks. I think he'll be better than this, but he's not a 1-start guy. He just doesn't get enough strikeouts.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. And I feel like none of these guys I really want to have on my roster and keep on my roster.
R.A. Dickey's kind of strange. No strikeouts yesterday, but 8 innings, 1 run, 3 walks.
I think you could have stopped after R.A. Dickey's kind of strange.
I'm going to read the emails first, and then we'll do some DFS.
Oh, okay.
We can fire through these here in a few minutes. Ron from Miami, hashtag GoFish, the card game. Who will have a better season, Mark Canha or Andre Ethier?
I'm going to go with Ethier.
I will, too. Just to think playing time. I don't trust it for Canha.
I don't trust it for Ethier.
I trust him more.
I trust it now for Ethier.
Yeah. He'll do enough in the next few weeks to separate himself from Canha for a while.
Okay. Grade the trade from Jeremy in Cleveland. Give McCutcheon and Greinke.
Ooh.
Get Trout and Anibal Sanchez. Give McCutcheon and Greinke. Get Trout and Anibal Sanchez.
I'm giving that a D+.
Yeah, I'm trying not to give it an F. D.
Okay, D it is. Adam in San Diego. Hey, Jeff, Abed, and Chang.
Nope.
Community. It's community. And I didn't have to look that one up. I knew it. Question about a gray rule area. Or probably should say gray area rule. Or a gray rule area. I don't know. Maybe he was right. I'm laughing at him for no reason. Question about a gray rule area.
Okay. I'm pretty sure it shouldn't say gray rule area.
I don't know. 10-team standard head-to-head league. The current number one on the waiver wire has dropped Carlos Gonzalez. I am number 2 on the waiver wire. Number 3 has made it known that he wants cargo and he's willing to trade for him. My question is this. Is it kosher to negotiate an offer for a lesser player of his in exchange for not picking cargo? So he gets Gonzalez on waivers. I get a lesser player on his roster. And I get to keep the number 2 waiver status.
I don't think that's kosher. I think you play it out, and if you get them, then you make the trade. You can arrange it ahead of time.
Because and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't understand the rules, but number 1 on the waiver wire foolishly dropped him, but maybe he foolishly dropped him, and now he's realized it, and he's going to use it to pick it back up.
Exactly. I think that's the biggest reason why you don't do it this way, because, yeah, you have to give him that opportunity.
No, but you can't pick up a guy you dropped. Everybody else on waivers gets the opportunity first, right?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
I do.
I think now, if you put if a guy on waivers, I don't think you, I feel like everybody else, I feel like you're last on waivers for that player. No, am I crazy? No,
I don't think that's true.
Well, we have to, I think we have to take this description at its word that this guy's still the number one on waivers.
Well, he dropped him though. He's not going to pick him up.
Let's give him the opportunity then. And then number two, if he doesn't, number two can pick him up.
I don't think it's cool. I don't think it's cool, but regardless of that number one guy, I don't think it's cool for you to negotiate a deal where you're not picking him up. I think you have to pick him up and then you make a trade. If you want cargo, if you want to make a trade involving cargo, then you have to give up your waiver wire priority. Right?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I got distracted because I'm tallying the votes.
Well, they're pouring in, huh?
Rugnet Odor brother on Twitter says, fear of Miguel Olivo. I don't think that's true, but I am taking that as he knows.
Yeah, ask Alex Guerrero about that.
Oh, wow. He knows what FOMO is. Oh man, the yeses are killing it right now.
Well, that's shocking. That is really, really shocking. I can't imagine that people would be more likely to answer if they did know what it meant.
Selection bias.
I don't agree with you. I feel like.
Oh, there's no way you can disagree with me.
He can't, but he'd be wrong.
Okay. Thank you.
From Big Joe in Santa Barbara, grade the trade. 10-team 5x5 daily lineup, strikeouts per 9 instead of strikeouts. Give up Storen. And get Odorizzi.
I'll give that. There's contextual extra credit here. Yes. So I got 3 closers, 3 good ones.
Yeah.
3 really good ones. So that's it's a B minus.
I was going to go B plus.
And finally, Dan from New York. Dear Tino, Don, and Jason. That's easy.
Well, it's, Mattingly. Okay. So yeah, Yankee first baseman.
Picked up Steven Vogt. How legit is he? Is it safe to drop Mesoraco? If not, how close is Vogt to being a catcher you can ride with as your only one in a standard categories league?
Well, I think he's pretty close. In fact, I think he's pretty much there. But no, it's not safe to drop Mesoraco because when healthy and actually playing, Mesoraco will be much better.
Yes, Vogt is absolutely a catcher you can ride with as your only catcher in standard categories league. He is legit, but... And it's not about whether it's safe to drop Mesoraco. It's whether it's smart to drop Mesoraco. He's an asset. Trade him or trade Vogt. Either way.
And, it's 7-2 right now. The yes is over the no's. And, Buka Man says, fear of missing out. Best used to describe Alex Guerrero. So I do think we could have a FOMO segment out of this at some point. Now let's talk the
NFL.
I'm trying to be hip, man. If it was on Broad City, that means it's hip.
I think that generally, to be hip, you must not appear to be trying to be hip.
You must not. Yeah, that is true. Let's talk DFS for a few minutes here.
Okay.
I've got 2 better stacks. Well, I think 2 better stacks than the Braves.
Who you got?
Yankees, Mets. Yankees against Marco Estrada at Toronto.
But Estrada's been pitching well.
I'm sorry?
Estrada's been pitching well, you know?
Out of the bullpen.
I know. I just have this fear that he's going to... I don't know. I didn't want to stack Blue Jays against Chase Whitley yesterday, and for the same fear I had yesterday, I have that fear of the Yankees. And who is your... Oh, the Mets?
The Mets. Don't you like anybody against Bud Norris?
Yeah. Yeah, but who would you go with? Duda?
Yes, I would definitely go with Duda.
Gotta have Murphy.
I think I'd be okay with Murphy.
I haven't seen the prices.
Granderson.
Maybe
Kadire.
My stack of the day, I have all 3 Padres outfielders. Kemp, Upton, and Myers against Vogelsong, who has been terrible, this year. And he's given up a lot of home runs lately. And Kemp's fallen. I mean, he's only 3,700, whereas Upton's 4,300. And Kemp has pretty good numbers against Vogelsong. Not a lot of power, but an OPS just over 1,000 against Vogelsong in his career in over 30 at bats.
Yeah. So you guys have named 3 stacks now. Plus we talked about the Braves stack and you have not talked about my stack of the day.
What a good day for stacking,
which is interesting because yesterday I think everybody thought this was the stack of the day and I didn't have them as my stack of the day and they were awful, which was surprising because I still liked them. But
who are them?
You know who they are.
I'm in suspenders.
You don't know who they are?
I don't.
Oh, well, I think I know. D-backs?
The Astros.
Yeah, it was somewhere in the Southwest.
The Astros against Wandy Rodriguez. They only put up one run against Ross Detweiler, but that's irrelevant tonight. Wandy is still terrible. They are still good against left-handed pitching. They have the highest projected total of the night, not counting games in Colorado where players cost $17,000 and it's likely to rain.
Right.
So I like the Astros. Moving on to pitchers, you know who I like tonight.
Who?
Who do I like every time he starts? It's been good every time he starts, and everybody tells me, no, you shouldn't use him.
Zach Greinke.
Because he's too expensive. Zach Greinke.
But this is on the road, right?
This is on the road, yes.
All right, Heath. First of all, important thing. Let's save this for a different podcast, maybe a little earlier in the show in case people tuned out. But
now, that's suspense right there.
Yeah. I hardly ever can get an expensive starting pitcher in my lineup. I almost always go for a cheaper pitcher, like a mid-range pitcher. Today I'm going with Drew Smyly. I don't think without Hanley Ramirez, I don't really trust the Red Sox ability to really hit well against lefties.
Right.
So how do you do it? I mean.
Well, Smyly is my favorite cheap pitcher of the day. So I agree with you there. The key generally is going cheap at outfield, I think. You can also go cheap in the middle infield positions, but, like yesterday, my best lineup was my Felix lineup.
And who did you plug in? Like, who were some cheap guys?
Well, and that's the funny thing is it was my best lineup. It scored only 41.5 points because it had Hanley in it, who hurt me clearly, but I had Vogt at catcher. I had, Hanley, Ethier, and Markakis in the outfield.
Okay.
Semien, Dozier, Plouffe, and Billy Butler in the infield.
Yeah, I mean, but he didn't do that well. But that doesn't mean the strategy.
Who didn't do that well?
It didn't do that well, right?
Well, placed in tournaments and won cash games with a $4,000 outfielder that didn't having a bet.
Yeah, okay, that's a good point. Who else do you like today? Or don't
Al like? Has a thought.
Well, no, I was just going to say, I think I'm going to do two lineups today. I'm going to do a Greinke lineup because he's clearly the best pitcher. But I'm very enticed by Shelby Miller.
Shelby Miller is my third favorite pitcher of the day, and I don't like how... I think he's a little bit too expensive. But I still think that matchup, the Phillies... And I should have looked into this better yesterday because the Phillies, it seems like, have so many left-handed hitters, but they have been god-awful against righties this year.
They're terrible against everyone.
They haven't actually. They've been about league average against left-handed pitchers.
Well, they're a terrible team.
They are a terrible team.
I stand by that.
You wanted my cheap players, right?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be cheap players. It's who do you like or dislike today?
My favorite cheap player is Ryan Rayburn.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's always with him. That's a good call.
Anytime Ryan Rayburn faces a lefty. Now, here's the thing that's probably going to make Adam Azer not play Ryan Rayburn.
Uh-oh. He's 0 for 8 against Vargas.
It's much worse than that. Jason Vargas, mediocre left-handed pitcher, the type that he generally crushes. Ryan Rayburn is 3 for 22.
That's kind of substantial.
3 for 22.
But he's so cheap that it's worth taking a risk. Vargas hasn't been as good as he usually is this year.
Vargas has been awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Rayburn is by far and away my favorite cheap player today.
We got a few minutes left, like 1 or 2 minutes left. So just finish it up with some quick thoughts if you got them.
Yes, I've got a few more. But you kind of threw me off track there. Al, tournament play tonight. You're in a tournament. Do you do what you did last night and risk it with Rockies and Diamondbacks?
I'll have to look and see, is the forecast any better tonight? If it's like it was last night, I think I'm gonna pass on that.
So far, it looks like it's not a lot better, but it's so early. So, they don't know anything at this point.
All right. Well, I'm probably going to pass on that. What would you do?
I did not play any last night. I agree. What I think is really strange is there's still people that are playing these players in cash games. And I just don't understand that at all.
Why?
Explain in a 50-50 that. Or a heads up, when you only have to beat half the field, it's not worth taking the risk on a player not playing at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's only worth it where in a situation where you're trying to hit big on a tournament and you know that they may only be 3 or 4% owned. Well, if they play, yeah, they're going to be an outstanding play. But people continued to do it. Couple of guys that I'm confused about a little bit tonight. Strasburg against the Marlins. One of these days, he's going to be really good again. I mean, he's done it once this year. Locke against the Reds, and actually Lorenzen against the Pirates. I think we don't think of Lorenzen as really being that special. The Pirates have been terrible against right-handed pitching this year.
They
strike out a lot too.
My final thought, Kyle Hendricks, lefties are hitting like 340 against him, and Colton Wong is hitting 304 with a 478 slugging percentage against righties. So I think he's a good play at $2,600, and Cardinals lefties in general could have a nice day today.
Oh, crap, I need 2 more minutes. Can I have 1 more minute?
1 more minute, go.
Okay, Giancarlo Stanton, 400, 486, 930 at-bats against Strasburg.
Wow.
Boom. Eric Hosmer, 500, 500, 1,000, and 12 at-bats against Salazar. Howie Kendrick, 583, 583, 1,500, and 12 at-bats against Garza.
Wow, all right.
Todd Frazier, 400, 471, yeah. 667, and 15 at-bats against Locke.
He's in my lineup. I've actually found that one.
And the last two, Matt Kemp, 375, 444, 1038, and 32 at-bats against Vogelsong. And Buster Posey, 529, 579, 941, and 17 at-bats against Cashner.
And the yeses win 10-7 in the FOMO contest.
Then that definitely means that far less than 50% of our audience knew what that meant.
That's your ridiculous, ridiculous reasoning there.
Oh, I think that's confirmed.
All right, Heath and Al, thank you so much, and happy Cinco de Mayo.
And likewise to you, Adam.
Thank you.
I'm Adam Azer. Talk to you tomorrow.